intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Tuesday, March 6, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're glad you could join us here. We got folks in the studio joining me to my right. We've got Ganja John hanging out here.
What's up, Russ?
Just getting ready for another big shoe.
Big shoe.
Big shoe. We also got Coleco out there on the end. How you doing, Coleco?
Hey, guys. I'm doing quite well. I'm glad to be here. My car's not here, but I'm here, so that's good.
All cool in the shades. And I don't know what it is with us today. We're all dressed in black. I think like we're going to go audition for a Johnny Cash revival or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell's going on with
that. Got a little tribute band going.
I guess so. We're going to have a good time today on today's show. Also, let's not forget our senior news editor hanging out there in the virtual studio, Cannabis Carrie. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Russ. I am also dressed in black. Weird.
What a weird week. And here comes Todd and Brian. Well, Brian's blue. Are you dressed in brown? Is that brown? We're all dressed in black today. It was black.
He's from Denver.
Did you miss the memo? Do you miss the memo, Brian?
Anyway, he's not checking his Oregon email.
That's right. So we got a great show coming up today. It starts with Cannabis Carrie bringing us the news. So what do we have in the hemp headlines today?
Well, today... Massachusetts is opening the discussion on legalization. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We have to go to New York, an unfortunate story about a man getting arrested because his son smelled too much like marijuana. And we're also going to go to Ann Arbor, Michigan, where there's quite a divide between the city attorney and the city council. I'll tell you all about that coming up in today's headlines.
All right. And then after that, we're at 20 after, we're going to do Electric Tuesday. I'm going to bring you some bass music today. Then we've got video from Cannabis Cure UK. He's out at Spanibus, and he got to interview Mr. Nice himself, Howard Marks. So we're going to bring that video interview to you. Also, Todd Armstrong is here for Todd's Toker Topics. Hey, Todd, what's our topic going to be today?
Our topic is going to be Brian talking about my laryngitis as he stands in for Todd's Brian Presents Toker Topic.
All right. Well, thanks, Brian. We'll get to that right after the Cure video. And then at the end of the show, got a little time for a radical rant. I'm going to give you a look at the 13 states that currently have per se DUID legislation and what we can learn, if anything, about that with regard to Washington and Colorado. Right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply of the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
A cannabis legalization bill in Massachusetts that was proposed over a year ago finally got a hearing today before a judiciary committee. The Cannabis Regulation and Taxation Act was proposed by a group of four women representatives: Ellen Story of Amherst, Ruth Balzer of Newton, Lori Imlrick of Marblehead, and Ann Gobey of Spencer, all Democrats. The Cannabis Regulation and Taxation Act, or H-1371, would create an industry to license, regulate, and tax cannabis by a created cannabis control authority that would begin with seven members and an appropriation of about $2.5 million to get it started. Now, it doesn't address driving under the influence of cannabis, so existing penalties would not be altered. Already, a conservative group, the Massachusetts Family Institute, opposed the bill in an email yesterday saying that, quote, marijuana is a mind-altering drug that is almost the gateway drug to other drug abuses every time, and that legalization will lead to its proliferation, particularly among minors, and will lead to more impaired drivers on the road. Now, I just want to read to you the preamble to that bill that was read today to the Judiciary Committee by one of the bill's sponsors. The legalization bill begins with a preamble that says, acknowledging that 100 years of criminalization in Massachusetts has failed to stop the production, distribution, and use of marijuana, and that sustained enforcement efforts cannot reasonably be expected to accomplish that goal. Determined to protect the public health and the public safety, to eliminate prohibition-related crime, and to raise new revenue and promoting new jobs in industry and commercial cannabis and hemp, and respecting the personal autonomy of adults where freedom supposes responsibility, do hereby ordain and enact the Cannabis Regulation and Taxation Act. Now, the Judiciary Committee now has 2 weeks to make a recommendation to either pass it to the floor vote, kill the bill by vote, or table it, which would kill it for this session. They took no action on it today, but they did discuss the measure from 1 p.m. until 5. We will be keeping a watchful eye on this one.
You know, these complaints and worries about legalization, it's something that always comes up, and it always seems to be they're predicated on one misdirection: the idea that people aren't smoking pot now. These terrible things that they predict that would happen, you know, the increase in stone drivers or decrease in productivity, or what about the children? We can look all throughout the history of Massachusetts and the other United States to see what has happened with respect to changing laws. And the fact remains that Massachusetts, when it decriminalized marijuana in 2008, hasn't seen any of the harms that all of the people that opposed decriminalization had predicted would happen. It's very simple. Just look at the world as it exists now. There are plenty of people smoking pot, and if there was a huge issue with that in our society, we would have seen the results of that by now. We'd have seen the cancer wards filled with pot smokers. We'd have seen the emergency rooms filled with cannabis-using drivers that have wrecked and killed so many people. And by and large, it just doesn't happen. Now, that's not to say that cannabis use is harmless to the self or to society, but it is so less harmful than what we currently accept people doing, like using tobacco or using alcohol, or for that matter, eating 1,800 calorie cheeseburgers is much more harmful to our society than people smoking marijuana. So don't believe the misdirections of these prohibitionists that continually want you to think that suddenly legalizing marijuana will mean that there'll be pot smoking, because there's plenty of it going on right now.
And a New York man from Livingston County was arrested yesterday on drug charges. Police paid a visit to him on Monday after his kindergarten-age son went to school smelling strongly of marijuana. 41-year-old Mark Biondilio has been charged with second-degree criminal possession of marijuana, growing marijuana, and endangering the welfare of a child. A full-time resource officer from the New York Central School District paid a visit with a deputy to his home and noticed a strong odor of marijuana emanating from that home. They somehow got a consent to search the man's home and found more than 100 plants growing in two different rooms, 35 ounces of marijuana packaged separately, along with scales and obvious equipment that would be used to grow marijuana. He was arrested and is currently being held in Livingston County Jail. Sheriff officials who have not set bail yet say that he may face additional charges. The child was released to the custody of his mother.
Oh, what a shame that this is going on. Folks, I guess the lesson to learn from this, of course, is keep that bottle of Febreze near the door before you send your kids away, or keep the kids out of the grow room.
Osium.
Osium, is that what you recommend? Yes, Osium.
Always.
All right, Osium, any of those kind of things.
And those stealth backpacks.
And stealth-products.com. That's right. But, you know, don't endanger yourself any more than you need to. Obviously, there's no danger to the child with respect to being around marijuana. It's non-toxic. Well, actually, let me correct that. There is danger of cops bursting in and you're bursting down the door and shooting the dogs and letting gunfire go around and terrorizing the kids. But actually, that's probably the biggest harm that we'd be dealing with.
And a meeting this week in Ann Arbor, Michigan, ended with the city council members deciding to wait on a resolution they were voting on to ask the city attorney's office to stop enforcement activities against dispensaries in the town. The divide between the city council, who sees that several dispensaries exist in the town, are operating rather peacefully and would like to regulate and tax them, against the city's attorney's office, on the other hand, who seemingly has launched a campaign directed at shutting them all down. The city had drafted a letter that was asking the city attorney's office to step down and let them manage the city. They addressed the problem with the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, that it does not address dispensaries at all. They say you could look at that two ways when something key is in an act is omitted. They say English law would say that if it is not forbidden, then it is legal. They say it is Germanic law that says that if it is not mentioned, it is illegal. They would like to regulate the existing industry, and the city council has even toured some dispensaries and found them to be run very well. But during the meeting, so many other pressing issues ate up the time last night. At that public evening, it lasted until after midnight, and the group decided to wait until they could all have a say in the debate before sending that request on to the city attorney's office. But during the meeting, the press that were there were able to snap a few pictures of Ann Arbor dispensary attorney Dennis Hayes, who represents several Ann Arbor dispensaries, having a friendly chat with city attorney Stephen Postema, who was also there to comment on the resolution and has been accused of aggressively trying to shut down the dispensaries. At the issue was the request from the city attorney's office to several dispensaries asking them to submit detailed information about their business models before they could get a license from the city. No other businesses are asked to do this step. Haynes says that there is no way the city can protect that information once they have it, and that the city would be gathering information that could be used against his clients if the federal government decides to continue their crackdown on dispensaries in Michigan. He said that the information that the city attorney was trying to collect would be prima facie evidence of violating federal law at this time. The city attorney has issued a statement saying the dispensaries must be compliant with the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, even though the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act doesn't mention dispensaries. City Attorney Postema says that he has no personal agenda against the dispensaries and that he is just trying to do his job and enforce the law.
And this is going to continue so long as we have states that are trying to regulate the medical use of marijuana and the federal government that does not even recognize that marijuana has any medical value. So people that want to follow the law, that want to do what's right, to register or sign up for a license or whatever it may be, they run the risk of incriminating themselves in a federal court. And so you're stuck with a dilemma here. Do I follow the law of the state, or do I worry about incriminating myself when it comes to the feds? And this is why it's so important to end this ridiculous distinction over who's healthy enough to put in a cage over using pot. Legalize it for everyone. Let's erase these false distinctions and get to really establishing the rights of people to use cannabis for whatever reason they might choose. All right, thanks, Carrie, for the news. There's a couple of stories that I picked up on the wires as well that I wanted to give mention to. One is coming from Time.com, Time Magazine, and reporting on U.S. Vice President Joe Biden visiting Latin America, where many current heads of state now are calling for the United States to put legalization on the table, at least of marijuana, to help end the violence in their war-torn countries. So I'm reading here from Time. Today, March 6th, U.S. Vice President Joe Biden will visit with Central American leaders, and fittingly, they'll meet in Honduras, now home to the world's highest homicide rate. 86 murders per 100,000 residents last year, 17 times that of the U.S., and even 5 times more than Mexico. There are a number of reasons for this Mesoamerican nightmare, including Central America's hopelessly corrupt and medieval police and judicial systems, with which the region's oligarchies, who are content to simply line their mansions with razor wire and security guards, refuse to modernize. But as far as the presidents like Perez are concerned, the root cause is the U.S.'s insatiable demand for pot, coke, meth, and heroin. We spend more on illegal drugs in America than we do on higher education. And increasingly, they're coming to the conclusion that a good way to keep los narcos from earning their stratospheric profits, which they use to buy the guns that wreak the mayhem, is to legalize some of the drugs. The U.S. has responded by reiterating its opposition to decriminalization or legalization of illicit drugs, as one White House official put it last week. But there's a broadening global consensus that the 40-year-old war on drugs has failed. So Biden, who in Mexico on Monday said, quote, "There is no possibility," end quote, the U.S. will back legalization, but did add that, quote, "it's worth discussing," end quote, would do well to listen to Perez and company today and not be a gringo scold when they bring up the legalization issue. Because to a certain, if not large extent, they're right. As countless drug war observers have argued in recent years, it makes sense to legalize at least more benign narcotics like marijuana, a drug that accounts for as much as half of the $30 billion the Mexican narco cartels rake in every year. What's more, marijuana legalization is suddenly gaining acceptance in the U.S., whereas just 5 years ago, surveys showed Americans opposed it by an almost 2-to-1 margin. A recent Gallup poll showed 50% of them in favor of it and only 46% against. Colorado and Washington will have the issue on their ballots in the fall, and other states may as well. That's largely because fewer and fewer of us buy the U.S. drug war leadership's argument that pot is somehow as personally addictive and socially destructive as harder drugs like cocaine, or that it's inevitably a gateway to those more dangerous narcotics. Meanwhile, more and more of us are tired of seeing U.S. law enforcement squander as much as $8 billion a year chasing down a drug widely considered no more harmful than alcohol if consumed in moderation. That's a great article there from Time. I encourage you all to look it up. It's at the Time blog called Global Spin, and it's called Legalizing Marijuana, Why Joe Biden Should Listen to Latin America's Case. In other political news, interesting rumor mill coming from Huffington Post, Ryan Grimm and Michael McAuliffe reporting this. Will the pot movement get its first senator? Now, we've had representatives. We've had Barney Frank, and we've had Ron Paul, who've been on our side, and a few others in the House of Representatives. But this story coming out of Huffington Post says, marijuana activists may gain an unexpectedly high-profile champion for their cause next year, thanks to Bob Kerry's sudden decision to jump into the Nebraska contest for retiring Senator Ben Nelson's seat. Pot reformers have their fingers crossed. Kerry, a Democratic senator for Nebraska in the 1990s, has a scant public record of support for marijuana legalization so far. But several longtime advocates for rewriting pot laws point out that he has a history of advising his old friend Peter Lewis, the billionaire founder of Progressive Insurance and the leading financial backer of marijuana policy reform, on Lewis's efforts. Kerry has known Lewis for decades. His role in advising Lewis on pot policy was first reported 2 years ago. In a Huffington Post blog in 2010, Kerry called on the Department of Veterans Affairs to let doctors inform veterans about medical marijuana. Well, this is fantastic news. It's getting confirmation from Graham Boyd at the ACLU, who points out that Kerry and Peter Lewis talk quite often. He won't mention what they talk about, but we all know that Lewis is the number one donor to marijuana law reform. To have someone in the U.S. Senate, which is currently 0 out of 100 senators that will make any positive stance on marijuana law reform, would be an amazing coup for our side. Let's hope that Bob Kerry can get that Senate seat in the state of Nebraska and help us all move this ball forward. All right, folks, before we go to break, I want to remind everyone that I will be gone this weekend in Houston, Texas, debating Dr. Kevin Sabet. So on Thursday and Friday, we will have no new live shows here. We'll play replays for you. On Friday, if I'm able to stream live, I will. So check back the blog or follow me, Radical Russ, on Twitter for all the late-breaking updates from Houston, Texas.
Hey, Russ, what do you think about a break, man?
I think breaks are good.
I brought the Sheldon Black.
All right, let's do it. Right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Hey, this is John Papa. You're listening to The Normal Show Live.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, once again, I get to bring you the Daily Toker Tune for Electric Tuesday because Cannabis Cure is busy out there at Spanibus and all. So I hit up the Oda promo net and took a look at what was the new releases in electronic music. And I found something that, of course, piqued my interest because I am a bass player and I love the bass. And this is something that's been produced by Bass Mechanic, and the project is called Bassotronics. And it's that, you know, that booty bass music that you always hear. And this one's called Bass Buttons Activated. So I said, what the hell? Let's activate some bass right here on our Normal Show Live Daily Toker Tunes. This is Bass Buttons Activated.
Bassotronics Audio. Audio.
It's Wiz Coleco from the Ivy Island Hour, which comes to you live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific on the Normal Network. I just wanted to let you know that two of my favorite bands are teaming up to spread good vibes across the land and are headed to a venue near you. Revolution is heading out on the second leg of their tour in support of the release of their new triple album, Peace of Mind, which includes full-length acoustic and dub versions. They'll also be joined by our boys from the land of Aloha, The Green. They're also promoting the recent release of their latest album, Ways and Means. You can check out a full list of shows, get the latest swag, and most importantly, find their music at revolutionmusic.com and thegreen808.com. Don't miss this amazing tour. I promise you, after these shows, you'll have peace of mind.
I smell pot coming from over here and grilled onions from over there. Two of my favorite smells ever. Both those onions and that pot smell really good up here, you know.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization and regulation and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. At Normal, we've been prepping for this debate for 40 years.
Bitches have something to say.
All of us can get a piece of that pie. And the reason we don't have headway is because that 1% can't figure out how they're going to make all the money.
Bitches have something to say.
Your Sunday morning and Wednesday evening pot and politics immediately following Danny Danko's Free Weed here on
The Libra Lounge.
unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. In this segment, we call Grassroots Activism.
All right, you may remember our friend Cannabis Cure UK, the hardest working activist in England. He is currently out at Spanibus, the biggest marijuana festival in Europe. And he's been producing all sorts of great videos that you can take a look at Cannabis Cure TV on YouTube. You can also watch him during our Cannabis Cure TV show that we have on at 11 Pacific here at the Normal Network. But this most recent video I wanted to bring to Normal Show Live just because it's a great interview between Cannabis Cure UK and the legendary Howard Marks, a.k.a. Mr. Nice, one of the most legendary marijuana smugglers in Europe. In fact, we have a song that we play, Grow More Weed. If you've heard that song here on Normal Show Live's Daily Toker Tunes, it's a song about Howard Marks. He actually appears on the song as well, dedicated to him. So we're going to turn things over to Cannabis Cure, who's at Spanibus with the CBD people, and his interview of Howard Marks, a.k.a. Mr. Nice. Take it away, Cannabis Cure.
I would imagine so, you know. I would do any sort of medicine. You know, might find some like beneficial side effects, but they like to keep, you know, but I don't know. So I never said anything but that.
Since they come up, what do you think of the gateway theory? How do you think that's looked at in 2012?
I don't know. I mean, in many ways, I mean, if we took the legality out of it, there would be no gateway to it by any means, unless there would be a gateway to anything else. And I've never come across two substances where the taking of one and enjoying it makes you want to take something else. But so far, it seems like bollocks, unless you force them all into the same marketplace with the government itself.
You mean instead of those drugs being controlled, there's a complete lack of control of them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the goal of control drugs is probably the way to control. But the third misnomer of that, completely out of reach of the law, and kind of, you know, impossible to call the
Great there from Cannabis Cure UK, giving us a little bit of interview with Howard Marks there at Spanibus. What a great event, and it's so good to see more of the breeders paying attention to CBD. When we come back, Todd Stoker Topics with Brian.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Let's get out of here. I have some really good weed back at the hotel.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Here at Normal Show Live, we spend all week taking a look at the tragedy of American marijuana prohibition. But it's important to take a break and remember that we are a vibrant, diverse, and oftentimes hilarious community of people. So our friend, comedian Todd Armstrong, joins us to poke fun at one of Todd's toker topics.
All right, as you can see from our long shot here, Todd is on injured reserve. He has been benched. to protect us on the salary cap, I believe. Now, he's got some laryngitis. So joining us here to fill in on Todd's toker topics, we have Brian Blank.
Hello.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
I'm doing fantastic. So what is your topic for the day?
My topic is weed speak.
Weed speak. Take it away, Brian, with weed speak.
Yeah. Every region has their own code, like speak referring to weed. Yeah. I thought saying green and like a half zip and a zip was pretty universal.
Yeah.
Turns out in Tustin, Montana, it's referred to as Bill Murray and Ghostbusters 1, 2, and 3.
That's awesome. That's a really secret code there.
Yeah. It stops at 3, though.
I see.
it also, different age gaps. When I lived in L.A., I lived in Van Nuys, and the apartment complex manager was like this 50-year-old black guy, and the second day I was there, there was like a hole in my roof, and so they were trying to fix it, and they were drilling at it, and like obviously the drills woke me up, and I walked outside, and he was like, "Did the drills wake you, Brian Blank?" I was like, "They did." He's like, "I knew they would." Hey, Brian Blank, you got any Oreos?
And Oreos.
I was like, "Yeah, actually, I do have some Oreos. Come on inside." So he comes on inside, and then I take some Oreos, and He's like, he looks around and then he pulls out a blunt. I was like, hey, yeah, let's smoke that blunt. He's like, blunt? What the fuck is a blunt? Let's smoke this Hooter.
Hooter?
Yeah. Yeah. And for like 2 weeks, I thought I was getting free weed for Oreos. Like, legitimately.
It's a good trade-off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and really
then,
good trade.
And then he also asked me once to go to this. He's like, hey, Brent, I got this chick upstairs. I need to go to the store and give me some condoms and make a Magnum, motherfucker. And I was like, all right, sure. And so I went to the store and I went to and got some Magnums, and the lady looked at me and I was like, that's right, bitch. And then I bought the Magnums and handed them to him, and he gave me three blunts, three hooters, if yeah. you will. Yeah. So that worked out for so basically any older black guy, I don't think I'm being stereotypical at all right now. If you ask any older black guy for anything, they'll trade you in weed.
Any.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good news if you meet Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then also, I think we need to be like careful of what we say around our friends, of how we're talking. Like, I think a lot of my friends have managed to make it sound really gay. They'll be like, "Damn, Brian Blank, you smell so good right now." Hey. What you up to later? you want to go outside of the alley? We can do it in my car too if you want. So I think we need to be cautious of that. Yeah. That is Weed Speak, and Brian's filling in for Todd's Toker topic.
All right. Very good, my man. Very good. All right, so we always give you the opportunity to let folks know where you're appearing. So what's the next gig for Brian Blank?
I'm hosting a show at Blitz Sports Pub April 1st, and Todd's the headliner.
Right on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
April Fool's Day.
April Fool's. No
joke. You're not fooling us, are you?
No,
okay, all right.
This is no joke.
No jokes on April Fool's
Day.
Right on. Well, we'll check that out. And, we, of course, Todd Armstrong, Twitter handle you can find at Arm Todd Strong. Have you joined the Twitter yet?
Yeah.
B Blank has jokes.
That's right. B Blank has jokes. I just
tweeted it out.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And I retweeted.
We have tweeted and retweeted.
All right. Yeah. So thanks for joining us for Todd's Toker Topics. And when we come back, we'll have time for a little radical rant. I'm going to take a look at the current state of DUID laws in America. So stick around.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
Yeah, I could sneak into the school and write whatever I want on the chalkboard.
I could see a planetarium show without the secondhand marijuana.
And I can drive drunk while I'm actually sober.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, this is Radical Russ from Normal Show Live. We're proud to be the voice of the marijuana nation and proud to have you on our team. Now, you can represent NSL in your own Normal Show Live gear from handmadeapparel.biz. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel is one of us and a huge supporter of our show. He's designed the classic blockhead line of NSL shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. Worn by Radical Russ, Cannabis Carry, and Ganja John on the show and at live events, the designs feature their iconic logos and the "It's Got to Be 420 Somewhere in the World" tagline. Proceeds directly benefit Normal Show Live and HandmadeApparel.biz, one of our community's strongest supporters. You can also get your Cannabis Cure UK, Ganja John Show, Irie Island Hour, and more gear from the Normal Network at HandmadeApparel.biz. Visit HandmadeApparel.biz today.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Well, you know, the topic we've been covering for a while has to do with legalization initiatives that are going on in Washington State and Colorado. And there's been a lot of discussion about the per se DUID statute that's attached to the Washington State legalization language. There's also a move in Colorado to revive a bill that was killed last year for a per se DUID statute. Now, in both of these cases, we're talking about setting a 5 nanogram per milliliter THC in blood excuse me, per se DUID statute. Also, in the halls of the ONDCP, these per se DUID statutes are one of the major policy goals of the drug czar. So I don't want to get too much into the Washington or the Colorado things. What I want to do is to shed some light on the facts in this debate, because both sides have been running around spouting all sorts of information about per se DUID and what might happen without any regard to what we already know about per se DUID. So in examining this issue, it'd be a good idea to have a look at the facts. And one fact that has been surprisingly omitted so far is the fact that 13 states already have per se DUID statutes, and they are far worse than anything being proposed in Washington or Colorado. Now, I've made this chart up, and you can get a copy of this chart up at the blog at stash.normal.org. It's much larger, and you're actually able to read the thing, but I will cover some of the data from this chart for you. First of all, as we look at these states, there's 13 states that have per se DUID laws that have been implemented since 1990, Arizona being the first one in 1990. The most recent one was Delaware in 2007. But as we look through the data, let's explain some of the terms that we're using, so everyone makes sure, you know, we're all on the same page here. Washington and Colorado have these proposals for a 5 nanogram THC per milliliter of blood as a per se standard. Now, what per se means is that flunking that test is itself a crime, regardless of any other circumstance. If you're behind the wheel and you flunk the blood test, you committed a DUI. Doesn't matter if you're the best driver in the world, you committed a DUI. Perfect guilt, no excuses, no defense. That's what per se means, right? And that's what we have with alcohol right now. We have per se alcohol DUIs. If you're above 0.08 on the breathalyzer, that's per se a crime. Doesn't matter how good a driver you were, right? All right, now, the reason I want to bring this up is because we're talking about measuring the active THC in the bloodstream, the actual psychoactive cannabinoid that gets you high, THC. That's what we're measuring. If you're confusing this with P-tests, you know, the P tests that you might be familiar with from work or parole or probation or joining the military, those are just some examples. Those are testing for inactive metabolites of THC, something that's known as THC COOH or COOH. That's the chemical, you know, name for it there. Now, this is a crucial difference because those inactive metabolites, those remain detectable for days, weeks, or even months after the last use of marijuana in some people. And since it's a metabolite, what that tells us is that the active THC in your system has been metabolized. In fact, if you had just smoked marijuana for the first time ever, there wouldn't be any metabolites detected in your system until after you'd already been not high for some time. So in a sense, a urine test for THC COO isn't an impairment test. It's an I was impaired some time ago test. Now, despite any disagreements about how much or how long someone consumed cannabis and be unimpaired or impaired or whatever, we do have to agree that at least with THC in blood, we're measuring the impairing cannabinoid, not in an inactive metabolite like a urine test. Now, of all the states that have these per se DUID statutes, Pennsylvania had the one that's closest to the new proposals. The Keystone State instituted a 5 nanogram per milliliter per se DUID in 2004. Now, since then, it's been amended. It's actually a zero tolerance now, although you'll see in the law books it'll say 1 nanogram to indicate what's admissible in court, because below 1, the test can't really be accurate. So, in effect, it's really a zero tolerance. Pennsylvania also, by the way, has constitutionally allowed roadside sobriety checkpoints. That's where the police can, you know, set up a roadblock, stop every single driver, and get a good look and a good whiff of every driver that passes through. So what happened? Well, in 2005, there were 41,464 DUID arrests in Pennsylvania, and that was a 5% increase over the 2 years since 2003. That is, the year before they put in per se DUID versus the year after they put in per se DUID, there was a 5% increase in DUID arrests. However, it should also be noted that only 38 out of 10,000 drivers in Pennsylvania is ever busted for a DUID. That figure is 74 out of 10,000 in Washington State that doesn't have a per se right now. Now, another state to look at would be Ohio. It has a 2-nanogram per se DUID that passed in 2006, and it has those sobriety checkpoints, and it has something Pennsylvania doesn't have, a 3-day mandatory minimum consecutive days in jail if you fail the test. That's right, fail the blood test in Ohio, you're going to jail for 3 days consecutive, guaranteed that minute. Ohio, though, also has the greatest amount of decriminalized marijuana for personal possession. You can have up to 100 grams, that's about 3.5 ounces, and that's just a minor misdemeanor. No criminal record, no jail, and a $150 fine. So we got to imagine there's probably a lot of pot smokers in Ohio feeling kind of free because they can have up to 100 grams, right? They got a 2-nanogram per se standard, not 5, and sobriety checkpoints, and a 3-day jail sentence. So what happened after they passed per se DUID? In 2005, there were 20,126 DUID arrests. In 2007, 2 years later, there was 19,155 DUID arrests, a decrease of 5% over the previous 2 years. And only 27 out of 10,000 drivers there are arrested for DUID. So in the two cases we've looked at so far, we've got one state where it went up 5% and another state where it went down 5%. Now, the worst of these states may be Georgia and Utah. There is zero tolerance in those states for any THC or metabolite. You fail a P-test, you're a drunk driver. No matter if you failed the P-test because you smoked a joint 2 weeks ago, you're still a drug driver. And Georgia and Utah have roadside sobriety checkpoints, and they don't have medical marijuana, and they don't have decriminalization, and they have a mandatory minimum jail stay if you fail the test. In Georgia, it's a day. In Utah, it's 2. And I think it's probably safe to say there's a certain political climate in both Georgia and Utah that's kind of unfriendly to pot smokers. Now, in Georgia, when they passed that zero tolerance law with their roadside sobriety checkpoints and intense hatred of pot smokers, they had a 9.5% increase in DUID arrests. Now, I wanted to give you data from Utah as well, but I can't find the FBI uniform crime reports from before 1996. At least I couldn't in the time it took me before I got the show put together. So I'll keep looking and try to get that data to you. Now, of the 13 states I took a look at, of all the states that I could find data on, 10 of them, I could find data on 10 out of 13. It seems Nevada has the greatest 2-year increase of DUID arrests at 76%. Yeah, pretty big. Followed by Michigan, which increased by 33%. 5 of the states had 2-year declines in DUID arrests following per se passage. 5 states had 2-year increases in DUID arrests. So it's kind of difficult to draw any conclusions from this data, anything really perfectly, because different numbers of law enforcement agencies report to the FBI from year to year. You know, 1 year there might have been fewer, you know, cop shops reporting in Georgia than the next year. So it's hard to draw any parallels. There's also increases in the number of drivers from year to year and increases in the millions of miles driven over those 2 years. And the DUI arrest statistics, they don't break it down into alcohol versus marijuana versus drugs. So you really don't know, well, did marijuana DUIs go up while alcohol ones went down and it overall went down? It's hard to tell. Also, it's hard to know exactly how many people are being stopped and let go versus how many people are actually being busted. So we don't know what is the chance that you're going to get a DUID. However, based on these data that I'm looking at, I'd find it hard to believe, as some I-502 opponents have predicted, that we're going to see some mass increase in DUID arrests to the point where all the former less-than-announced possession stops all become DUID blood draws. I mean, Washington State had around 10,000 less-than-one-ounce arrests in 2010, and it had about 34,000 DUID arrests. So if we presume that the current marijuana DUIDs in that total would have been busted anyway, right? They're already getting busted, so they'd be busted if there's a 5 nanogram. If that's the situation, then there'd have to be a 29% increase in DUID arrests over 2 years, all of them just cannabis only, to make that nightmare come true. And when we've seen only a 33% increase in Michigan, 76% in Nevada, in two out of 10 states for which I can find data, I don't think it's very likely that we're going to see that. I think what this really comes down to for a lot of people in this argument is the fear of profiling. In many of these arguments that I hear about, or discussions, I should say, that I hear about this scenario, it's the worry that patients are going to be profiled or marijuana activists are going to be profiled. There's going to be something about passing this that's going to make police officers say, aha, now we can bust the dopers. We can pull them over and all give them all blood tests and give them all DUIs. And, you know, I understand that fear. There's plenty of evidence to point to how law enforcement has profiled many different groups of people over time for unfair punishment, for unfair application of the law. But I do think that that is a bit overblown. I think it's time for us to look at these statistics and to try to make these decisions with regard to the actual numbers that we find from the data. Let's take a look at the 13 states that have these per se statutes and then find out whether or not we can gain any meaningful information out of them. All right, folks, thanks for joining us here. And before we go, I want to take a couple of minutes here to issue a personal apology in person to Mr. Steve Sarich, who's out there in Washington State. We've been going back and forth on this issue on I-502 quite a bit, and the emails have gotten quite heated and personally provocative, let's just put it that way. And I retaliated. I responded in kind with something terrible that I never should have said. If you don't know Mr. Sarich's story, he is a medical marijuana activist. He was a grower who a couple years ago was targeted by rippers, plant thieves, who came in to his compound, whatever it is, and shot at him. And they hit him in the shoulder. He wasn't critically injured, but he did have a pretty serious injury because of this. And in response, in the closing to one of my letters, I in very poor taste said, I hope next time the rippers have better aim. That was completely uncalled for, very unprofessional, and not at all in calling with normals, organizational standards, or what my personal professional standards should be. I was angry. I was in a very heated discussion, and it is something I apologize for and am kind of ashamed of. I never should have done that. I don't wish any ill for any of my opponents or anybody that might disagree with me. Even the drug czar, even these people that want to keep locking me in a cage, I don't wish them ill health. I don't wish them ill will or any for any bad thing to come to them. So I do apologize for that bit of immaturity on my part. I promise to never let it happen again and to maintain professional relations with all the people that contact Normal, even those with whom I strongly disagree. All right, so there we go. Thanks for joining us here for Normal Show Live. We are the voice of the Marijuana Nation. We're going to take a little bit of a break and come back for hour two, Toker Talk Radio here, where you can call in at 971-533-7111 and make your voice heard. We got Brian Blank, we got Todd Armstrong, Wiz Calico, and Ganja John all hanging out, so it should be a good time. Cannabis Carry still hanging out in the virtual studio, so join us. Also, coming up later on tonight, you're going to get a dose of marijuana compassion and common sense with Lanny Swerdlow right after Toker Talk Radio. And at 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern, more videos from the weed nerd himself, Subcool, one of the Pacific Northwest's best strain developers, breeders, whatever you want to call it. For Ganja John, Wiz Calico and Cannabis Carry, Brian Blank and Todd Armstrong, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.